Hey, listen, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. I forgot this morning. Don't pinch me, bro. We have a guest speaker today. I'm so excited about the opportunity that you have in front of you. If you haven't grabbed your Bible yet, do that. Pull that out. You might even open it up to Exodus. We have Dave Hootke with us today. If you buy one of his books out in the lobby, you're going to be tempted when you look at his last name to call him Chowdhury. It ain't. It's pronounced Hootke. Hootke is a dear friend, and I'm so grateful that you and I both get to benefit from this message today. He's talking about walking through the valleys. He serves as the executive director of an organization called Lead 222, and they coach up, they mentor, they train student ministry leaders. We here at Venture have benefited by his coaching, by his training. He's an incredible leader. That's what he does. Let me tell you about who he is. Dave is an incredible and humble, genuine leader. And he has genuinely lived some life, genuinely has some scars, and genuinely has an opportunity to share and encourage your heart today. So, without further ado, would you do me a favor and join me in giving a warm Venture welcome to Dave Hootke.
Thanks, buddy. Good morning. Well, it is great to be here with all of you, and just want to thank Stan and his friendship. We were on staff together for many years, and I remember about 5 years ago being in a King Soopers parking lot, which is the Colorado Kroger, and going through a very difficult time of my own life. I had resigned at the church I was at, just struggling, figuring out what am I going to do next. And I was in the parking lot, and I just felt like, I'm going to call Stan. And I called up Stan, and him just listening to me, reminding me of who I am and my giftings, and encouraging me and praying over me. And so I'm just so grateful for him and his friendship. And now just to, you know, just to see what God is doing through him, and just so proud of him and what God's doing here at Venture. And so thank you for allowing me to be here. And so I serve with Lead 222, which is a youth ministry coaching and mentoring organization. And so we coach and mentor youth pastors to lead healthy lives, healthy families, and healthy ministries. And I've been able to be a part of Jake Smith's life, his coach, the last 4 or 5 years. And you guys, I coach and mentor youth pastors locally and around the country. And I'm serious. You guys have one of the best youth pastors in the country. And yes. And I really mean that. And I love Jake and so appreciate to see the growth that he has had and what God's doing. See students serving all around here already this morning and how you guys are reaching this next generation that are not the church of tomorrow, but are the church of today. And so I love that we get to do that and help reach this next generation by healthy youth pastors leading healthy ministries. And so really grateful for that. Well, I'm going to jump into the message. Before I do, will you join me in prayer? Father God, thank you so much for who you are and your faithfulness in our life. And it's so good to gather as the body of Christ, to worship you, to be reminded of who you are. And Lord, I know that all of us that have walked in here or listening online, some of us are dealing with some very difficult circumstances in our life and maybe feel very alone or forgotten. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage, that you would speak to each and every one of us, that we could be reminded of your faithfulness, God, in each of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us. And God, thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in my mid-30s, I decided to run the Indianapolis Mini Marathon, and maybe some of you are actually training for that right now. Well, I was out of shape, and I wanted to do something about it. But let's just say I was the guy that would stop at Speedway gas station, actually the Speedway just up at 32 in Hazeldale. And every morning I would get a styrofoam cup, 32-ounce Coke, and two breakfast tornadoes, you know, those things that like roll on the grill next to the hot dogs, waiting for guys like me. And so I knew I needed to do something about it. And so the Indianapolis Mini Marathon was in May, and so I had some work to do. So I got a gym membership, I started to eat better, and I started running. And what I realized is I don't know if I really like running. And you know, I've got flat feet and bone spurs, and 13.1 miles is a long ways to run. But I kept with it, kept training, kept running more and more miles, and May finally came. And I was so excited to be a part of the marathon. And so if you've ever been, you know that there's just all kinds of support. And so my family came, my wife and my kids, my mom and dad and sister, and they all came to support me. And I'll never forget that feeling of being in this huge crowd with my racing bib on. You know, I'm excited. And all of a sudden, I'm part of this giant mob that makes its way through the starting gate. And you've got people cheering from the sidelines. You've got kids holding posters and bands playing. You've got volunteers handing out water and Gatorade. And I just thought, I'm doing this. I'm actually running the race. And I'm so excited. Well, miles 2 through 4 went great. I was on pace with my goal, and then miles 5 and 6 came, and I still felt good. And then we went into the famous Motor Speedway, right? If you've been a part of it, it's so cool. What a great experience as you start to run in the Speedway. And then I got around the bend, and there's this huge jumbotron. And they're showing people finishing the race. And I've still got a long ways to go, which was a little discouraging. And so I make my way outside of the track, and the crowds start to disappear, and no one is cheering. The pain was severe, and I was dehydrated. My thoughts turned to quitting. Mile number 11 was a crossroads. You see, I had never trained past mile 10. I actually didn't know if I could run 13 miles. And so doubt crept in, and it made the pain scream louder. Mile marker 11. And it was an unknown for me. And maybe you are here today, or you're watching online and listening, and you're in a season that you never thought you would be in. And I call it a valley. A valley is a very difficult season of life. A valley can be navigating down a road of losing a loved one. A valley can be a road of suffering. A valley can be a road of mental health struggles. A valley can be a road of pain, hurt, and disappointment. And I've been navigating some of the hardest seasons of my life the last 9 years. It started with the diagnosis of my dad and losing him to brain cancer. I've been in 2 car accidents and dealt with concussions with long recoveries. We've experienced church hurt, unemployment, living in the basement of some friends for 6 months, a pandemic, and dealing with such hurt and discouragement that I question if God truly cared. Yet what if I told you that the only way out of the valley is through it? What if I told you that the only way to finish the race is to keep running, even when everything in you says to quit? What if I told you that my life has been transformed by the faithfulness of God through the valley? And in the Indy half marathon, I made the decision not to give up. And pretty soon the crowd started to appear again at mile marker 12. They were cheering everyone on, and I realized I had 1 mile left. And that last quarter mile turned from pain and struggle to joy and excitement. And I could see the finish line. And here are some pictures of me getting ready to finish the race. And when I came across that finish line, I was so excited, flooded with emotions. I did it. I accomplished my goal. Now, I've never run a race again, but I accomplished my goal. I ran the race. And this life is like a race. And just like running past mile marker 11, we go into valleys and seasons of life that we've never had to endure before. We're running into the unknown, down roads we've never been. Seasons of hardship, loss, grief, disappointment, and discouragement. And maybe that's you right now. You're down a road that you've never been on, and it can be so confusing. You have doubts if God cares. You've questioned everything you've ever known. And a verse for me that as I was navigating that valley season that meant a lot to me was Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And this is the Message version. And I just encourage you, maybe you write this down. And this week, maybe you just meditate on this verse and just allow God to encourage you and speak to you. And so here's what Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. And for me, that was so powerful. Because when I get in a valley and it's uncomfortable, I want to get out of there as fast as possible. I want to go back to what's safe and what's comfortable. And that was so encouraging to me. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. And so often we don't run to God. We just find ourselves running alone. Or at least it feels like we are alone in this. And the title of this message is Walking Through the Valleys. And in most cases, we think about walking through the darkest days of our lives alone. We think how difficult those days can be. However, what I learned is that I didn't walk through the valley alone. Even when I didn't recognize God at work or what he was doing, I discovered in my journey that God was right there with me. And I'm so grateful for that. Years ago, I was a groomsman at a wedding of two college friends, and the wedding was in Iowa during the summer. And for those of us that, as we live in the Midwest, we know how hot and humid the summers can get. I had a friend from the Midwest say that the corn sweats are the real deal. Just being around cornfields seems to escalate the humidity. And so the wedding was outside under a tent, and did I mention it was hot and humid? Okay, you might see where this is going. And so as groomsmen, we walk down and you know, we go to the side and the bridesmaids come and they go to their side. And I remember looking at the groom, my friend, and he was beaming with excitement as he saw his bride make her way down the aisle. And that excitement quickly turned to concern as one of the bridesmaids, the maid of honor, passes out. Like she just falls to the ground. So people rush to her, make sure she's okay. And due to the heat and not eating breakfast, she passed out. So they escort her back into the house, back into air conditioning. And so we regroup and begin again. And all of a sudden, about 3 minutes into the service again, another bridesmaid passes out. Like we haven't even got to the rings yet. And so people come to her, they make sure she's okay, they escort her back into the house. And you guys, I started to get lightheaded. I thought, I'm gonna be the third person that passes out at this wedding, which might be an Iowa record, I'm not sure. And so I look over at the bride and she is over this chaos and I'm right there with her. Can we just fast forward, skip over some stuff, you know, call them husband and wife before there's more bodies that hit the floor? And I think that is so true with being in the valley. We want this to be over. Lord, can you please end this before there's more chaos? Can you end this before there's more hurt and pain in my life? Can you escort me to safety? And I think we look at the valleys in front of us and they seem unwinnable. We look at the battles we are in and only see hopelessness, fear, chaos, broken dreams, and we're in panic mode. And God wants to remind you today that he is fighting your battles. And the story of Moses that we're going to look at this morning is about a guy who faced his own mountains and valleys in life. As a Hebrew, he grew up in the palace with all the luxuries of royalty and Egypt. I kind of envision him as a know-it-all kind of guy. He saw an Egyptian guard beating a Hebrew slave one day, and he took his own vengeance and killed the guard. In fear of retribution, he ran away. He became a shepherd for his father-in-law and tended sheep. Until one day, the Lord appeared to him in a fiery bush and called him to go back to Egypt and free the Israelites from slavery. And after five different excuses that he was the wrong guy, eventually Moses gets on the same page with God. And after a few decades of wandering in the desert, God called Moses to a huge mission. He went back to Egypt, but we know, some of us know this story, Pharaoh didn't listen. And so finally, Pharaoh relents and says, go, take your people and get out of here. Try to imagine over 2 million people leaving town at once. It's madness. This is a mass exodus, and they are now going to be free from slavery and oppression. However, as the Israelites are leaving town, Pharaoh is coming back after them. As the Egyptians are chasing them, how will the Israelites respond? Will they trust God's plan, or will they panic? So let's look at Exodus chapter 14. We're going to be starting in verse 10. Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. This is the New Living Translation. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. I see the Israelites do two things in this passage. Number one, they panic. And number two, they complained. And when valleys hit our life, provoked or unprovoked, it's easy to panic and complain. And I think that's human nature. Christian Bovee said, panic is a sudden desertion of us and a going over to the enemy of our imagination. You know, my wife and I laugh about how she can be a doomsday thinker sometimes. We're at the beach, we could be eaten by sharks. We're running to the car in the rain, we could be struck by lightning. The kids are swimming in a lake, we might get the brain-eating amoeba, all right? You get the picture. Maybe you can relate, some of you Enneagram 6s out there. And the reality is, we so often let our imaginations and what-ifs take over. What if it's cancer? What if I can't get a job? What if we can't pay our rent? What if my kids don't make good friends? And the enemy wants us to play that game and steal our peace. Lisa Turkhurst said, what makes faith fall apart isn't doubt. It's being too certain of the wrong things. So what are the wrong things we get certain of in the valleys? And I realize it's easiest for me to lose sight of God when I'm listening to the lies of the enemy. Or I'm allowing fear to paralyze me. Or I'm feeling that this season will never end. Or I'm believing that I am alone in my situation. Or I'm listening to the lie that I have no hope. And Jesus referred to the enemy as the father of lies. Lying is what he does. He wants you to have fear and rob you of peace. He wants you to believe you're going to be in the season for the rest of your life. He wants you to believe that you're alone and have no one that understands. He wants to make you think you have no hope. And he not only lies, but he will give you half-truths to create confusion. Jesus says this in John 8. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths. See, the truth is that Satan was defeated at the cross. And in Colossians 2, 13 and 15, Paul describes the defeat over the enemy in a victorious way. I love this. Here's Paul. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You see, the victory belongs to Jesus. Amen? And we get to share in that victory as children of God. Let that sink in for a minute. We are victorious in Christ. Our sin is forgiven. We have the hope that is found in Jesus. God is still at work, and our story is not over. God is at work, and your story is not over. And knowing this truth, the enemy does what he does best. He lies and twists the truth. And even though he can't change what Jesus did on the cross, he can absolutely lie to us in an attempt to keep us from fulfilling our God-given purpose and rob us of joy. When I was in student ministry years ago, I took a group of students down to Big Stuff Camp, which was in Daytona, Florida. And on our way down to save money, we stayed at Atlanta Christian College, and we were going to stay in the dorms there. And so we're navigating down there, and I got completely lost. So it's a bunch of vans all caravanning, and I'm completely lost. And back then, it was you printed off MapQuest directions, okay? Didn't have the GPS on the phone. I had to go up on MapQuest and print this off, and I was completely lost. So we pull over, and we're going to stop at this gas station, just try to regroup and figure out where we're at. And as I pull into this gas station, I quickly realize this was not a place for all the students to get out. And as I see someone peeing on the wall, I'm like, yep, this is not a great spot for the students to get out. So I gas up, and then as I'm walking into the building to ask for directions, a guy came up to me, and he asked me for money. And when I hesitated to pull out my wallet, he pulled out a knife. And so I quickly went in, grabbed my wallet, and I took out a crisp $100 bill that was there for trip emergencies. Like, you could say this was a trip emergency. And so I handed him the $100 bill, and it satisfied this guy, and he took off, and so did we. We took off quick. And I think it's amazing how you forget about everything else when fear for your life and others come over you. And this is what the enemy does in our life. He wants to rob us of peace. The enemy wants to rob us of joy. And I saw a shirt on a guy had a while back, and it said, "Not today, Satan." And it might sound cheesy, but I love that. We need to stand up to the enemy and say, "Not today, Satan." And that's what God does to fear. He kicks it out of our hearts, and his peace and his love dwells instead. And we have to move our thoughts to God's truth. And that's what sets us free from worry and fear. "Not today, Satan. You have no power over me." Let us remember who our God is. He is greater than our fears. He is greater than our worries. John Acuff, I love this quote. He said, "Fear is a feeling. Afraid is a choice. And when fear shows up, I feel it fully, but then I have a choice to stay in it or choose hope. Some days I have to choose it 1,000 times." Let me say that again. Fear is a feeling. Afraid is a choice. And in the valleys, we tend to only see the obstacles in front of us and panic. So what stops the cycle of mistrust, fear, and worry? Well, we have to focus on God's truth and his word. And when I focus on his promises and the fact that he fights my battles, I have a renewed strength. And like John said, some days we have to choose it 1,000 times. And remember, you don't have to have everything figured out right now. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to feel alone, because you are not alone. God is encouraging you to focus your attention on him and not your circumstances or the obstacles in front of you. So let's pick back up and check out what happens in Exodus 14, starting here in verse 13. "But Moses told the people, Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. I love that sentence. Just stay calm. It's three words that can be life-changing for us. And so, if you're watching online, all of us in this room, let's say this together. Just stay calm. Let me hear you. Just stay calm. You see, the people looked around and saw their escape blocked by the Red Sea. They saw the Egyptian army coming in hot after them, and they yelled at Moses, "How could you do this to us? We were better off in Egypt." And Moses saw the chaos around them, the people yelling at him, and he said to the people, "Just stay calm." What about our life right now? Everything in me wants to make a way out of the valley as fast as possible while panicking and complaining all the way through. I didn't deserve this. Why did this happen? God, how could you? This isn't fair. And God tells us to stop and stay calm, and he says, "I've got this. I've got you." And maybe some of us need to hear that this morning, that God's got this. He sees you in whatever you're going through right now. Listen, I remember thinking so many times, this is not fair, or this is not what I planned for my life. And I think many of us can relate to that. And we also have to trust that God is at work, and he is a trustworthy God. But there's a condition to God fighting our battles. He tells us to stay calm while he fights. While we rest, he carries the weight of those heavy feelings. And if you want peace in your life, it means you'll have to trust that God is more than capable of taking on what's in front of you in his timing. And if you believe God is the God of the mountain, then believe he's the same God in the valleys. And maybe that's a phrase you need to hear today, or to say this phrase to yourself over and over, or put it on your phone as a reminder this week to just come up as a notification. It says, stay calm. God's got this. He wants to fight our battles. And the truth is, God sees you right now. He knows exactly how you feel and what you are going through. Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Yet in the valleys, it's easy to forget that God is beside us. We tend to try to take everything on ourselves. And when we look at our circumstances today, we have a choice. We can panic, we can complain, or we can stay calm and trust that God is at work. And there might be a great work that God is doing in our lives, even when it seems the darkest or that we have nowhere to run. And the Israelites had the Red Sea blocking their escape, and the Egyptians were coming after them, and it looked like there was no escape. And after Moses told the people to stay calm and reminded them that God is fighting for them, he does this. Look at verse 21. "Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side." Could you imagine? Sometimes in our valleys, we don't need instructions, but we need a reminder. And what an incredible deliverance the people of Israel received that day. God was working on their behalf all night. They didn't cross the sea in mud, but on dry ground. He made a pathway to deliverance through the night when it was the darkest. And let us be reminded today that God loves you. He is fighting for you, even when it seems the darkest. Even when it seems like there's no escape, there's no way, we have a God who is fighting our battles. He is fighting for us, even when it seems the darkest. And as I journeyed through the valleys of losing my dad, battling through concussions and health issues and transitioning my family, church hurt, unemployment. I felt lost. Lost in grief, lost in disappointment, lost in discouragement, lost in waves of depression, lost in anger. Sadness would come over me just at random times. And in this valley, I felt lost with no sense of direction. And I wondered if I would have to stay in this valley forever. And it's easy in those times to listen to the voice of discouragement. It's easy in those times to listen to the lies of the enemy. And I remember getting coffee with a friend and him encouraging me, and I just got to be able to sit and I just got to share all that was going on and him listening to me, and then just through the Holy Spirit, him just being able to chime in and speak directly right into my life. And he said this: your valley is not your destination. Your valley is not your destination. And that was so good to hear. He then said, you will get through this, but you have to walk through it or you will get lost in it. And he asked me this question: what voice are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? And I just encourage all of us, maybe that's something we need to just meditate on and seek the Lord in. What am I being filled? Am I listening to the lies of the enemy, or am I being able to sit and to hear the voice of the Lord and to be reminded of God's truth and his word? And you see, if I was honest, I was listening to the voice of negativity. And I knew I had to get back into the word of God and be reminded of who he is. And so I dove into Psalm 23. And I believe God wants to remind us as we walk through the valley, his voice will lead us to experience his presence, his rest, his hope, his peace, and his goodness. And so I'm going to read Psalm 23. And I'm really believing, and I've been praying, that some of us really need to hear this morning. And so if you just need to close your eyes and just hear the word of God being just read aloud and being poured over you and allowing the Holy Spirit, maybe there's just something, there's a word, there's a phrase that God just needs to encourage you and to speak to you as you navigate what's going on in your life. And so I'm going to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. See, the valley is full of darkness, but we have a shepherd who never leaves us. We have a good shepherd named Jesus who doesn't want us to get lost in the valley, but to listen to his voice and follow him. He wants to walk with you through every moment, every disappointment, every mistake, every hurt, every joy, and every valley. He knows your deepest thoughts and worries, and he is a God who cares about the details of our lives and wants to work them out for our good. Friends, I am here today because of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And what's so amazing is that he uses our story and all that we go through for good. God never wastes a thing. And I'm so grateful to be able to be here today, to be able to share a message of God's faithfulness and his goodness, that he never gave up on me and he never gives up on you. And our story is not over. Your valley is not your destination, because we have a God who walks with us through it. He never leaves us. And I'm so grateful for that. Years ago, some Native American tribes had a rite of passage when the boy reached the age of 13. The boy was blindfolded, led out into the woods, and left to spend the night alone. His courage would be proven if he could sit and listen to the frightening sounds of the night without removing the blindfold. And when he felt the warmth of the morning sun, he was allowed to remove the blindfold to find that his father was sitting just a few feet away. Unknown to the boy, his father had been by his side throughout the night, watching over him, protecting him from any real danger. And that's our heavenly dad too. He's right beside us. He's right beside you and whatever you're walking through right now. He sees you in the circumstance that you find yourself in moments when we have doubts and confusion and frustration and anger. And he is a God that can take it, and we can freely give that to him, and we can surrender that, and to know that we have a God that fights our battles. And we are not meant to stay put in our valleys, but to walk through them. And I'm so grateful that we don't do it alone. He is walking with you through the valley each step of the way. Stay calm. God's got this. Let me pray. God, you are so faithful, so good. And I know there's been so many moments in my own journey where I had confusion and frustration and was doubting my own gifts and what I was going to do next and fears and worries. And God, I thank you that you meet us right in the midst of it, right in our valleys, right in our fears and worries, and that you are a God that we can trust. And I pray that for some of us here today, maybe navigating things that we never thought we'd have to endure, to go through, maybe we just never envisioned our life going down this path, or maybe we've had broken dreams, things that we thought we envisioned and we pictured, and it's left us broken and hurt. And so, God, I pray that you would just meet us right in the midst of that, God. Thank you that you see us, that our story is not over, that you're not done with us, and that you can use all that we go through for your good and to bring hope and encouragement. And so, God, I thank you that you are the God, not of just the mountain, but the God in the valley, and that you walk with us. And so, Lord, I pray that we can cling to you, Jesus. I pray that the voice that we hear loudest is the truth of your word, the truth of who we are in you, that we are victorious because you defeated death, you defeated sin at the cross, you rose from the dead, and you have given us hope. And so, God, may we cling to that. And so, Lord, thank you for your love and for your grace. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.